In this episode of the Fresh Approach podcast, we're talking about finding long-term solutions to the best ways to taking care of ourselves for the rest of our lives, and how you may be able to relate to Shannon's tough situation, why it's important to keep your food choices interesting, and how to fill up your jar of joy for when hard things happen, because they do happen, and we need to be ready as we can be. So let's get started. You are listening to the Fresh Approach podcast, where we focus on tools, skills, and strategies to live your healthiest and happiest life. What began as a fresh way to live your best life with weight loss surgery is open to everyone who wants to cultivate healthy practices to live their very best life. I'm Mary Clark, your host, mentor, encourager, and coach. You can learn more about me at the end of this episode, but for right now, let's get started. I hope you're having a great April and really embracing this new season, this spring season, and see what's blossoming or blooming for you. Is that super corny? I think it's cute. I hope you like that. But really, it is a time of feeling fresh. It's an opportunity for a fresh start, and I like that. So we're going to get right into it. And a new member in the Fresh Approach Facebook group said she was joining for this reason. I've got a slight regain, and I'm looking for a long-term solution. Well, let me tell you, Kay, and let me tell you that I really think the Fresh Approach is a long-term solution because it's about being fluid with your approach to taking the best care of yourself. It's a continual process of getting clear on what's going on in your life right now, what your goals are right now and why, and what's the best way for you to achieve those goals now, like the best steps for you to take, the best actions for you to take, not the way you did it last year at this time, or maybe even how you did things a few months ago, because our lives change. The world changes. We change, even like what we like to eat, how we like to do things. You know, I talk about how sometimes I get bored with one. I have to tell you, oh my gosh, I'm super excited. My springs came in for my mini trampoline and I can rebound again. They were like on back order. I was so happy. I thought I was, well, oh my gosh, I literally jumped for joy. That's so cute. I seriously literally jumped for joy. I got on the trampoline and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm rebounding again. It's one of my favorite exercises. Somebody in the group asked me when I started doing it. And I think it was after I got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, which was, okay, hard to, I don't know, 2002, 3, 4 now. I'm glad that I can't remember exactly. I think I used to know exactly. And I was still, you know, at that point, probably nearing morbid obesity. And I needed a way to exercise, but that was going to be really gentle on my joints. And my rheumatologist, Dr. Christine Tai at the time, love her. She suggested rebounding. And we've been rebounding ever since. So, you know, you can get bored with things, but it's important to keep things going and keep things fresh and see what works in your life right now. So, you know, the Fresh Approach, it's about developing a stronger awareness of you and your life and a stronger relationship with yourself, what you need in this moment of your life and taking the best care of yourself the best way you can now. It's about how following through with healthy nutrition, the steps you take, how those work out best for you now. So somebody who may have been, say, a serious meal planner and prepper, even as recently as a couple months ago, and say she prides herself in that. That is how she does it. She's in the meal prepper Facebook groups, and she has all the really super cool storage containers, and everybody at work like cheers Shannon on for how organized she is and how she portions out her snacks, and everything's so organized, and she's so disciplined. And Shannon really enjoys it. She enjoys the planning. She enjoys the prepping. She enjoys the accolades and everything she gets at work and from her friends. But then 6 weeks ago, say, Shannon's father becomes gravely ill, and he's hospitalized. And her mom, her parents live 45 minutes away from her, and her mom needs some serious support. She's not doing well without her husband. They've been married for over 60 years. So what does Shannon do? 2 to 3 days a week after work, she's driving to be with her mom in the hospital. And on the weekends, think about it, Shannon's not only taking care of her family, her house, and everything that goes on there, but she's showing up at her mom's house, taking care of, you know, watering the grass, getting groceries, or whatever it is, taking fresh clothes to her mom, and spending time at the hospital with her parents. So with all this going on, what do you think has happened with Shannon's meal planning and prepping? In this moment of her life, Shannon is choosing to spend those Sunday afternoons, instead of planning and prepping, being there for her parents. So the problem with all or nothing thinking, or the problem with thinking there's only one magical way to do nutrition or fitness or any of the healthy practices, you know, for lifelong health. If Shannon believes that the only way for her to meet her nutrition goals is through serious, meticulous meal planning and prepping, what happens? What happens to her? And what happens to her thoughts about the future and herself, her worthiness, her weight, if she's not meal planning and prepping anymore? The Fresh Approach is about not fighting the reality of what's going on in your life right now, not attaching to one way of achieving your goals, but to get clear about what's going on in your life and get clear on how you can adjust, adapt, and pivot for this moment, for this situation in your life that's happening right now. So say for Shannon, for the foreseeable future, because doctors aren't yet clear on when her dad can make it home out of the hospital, this is her new normal. So this reality calls for Shannon to adjust how she achieves her nutrition goals. It doesn't mean her nutrition goals have to change. So say she has a set number of calories, protein, carbs, or things that she aims for every day. That doesn't mean that needs to change. Just how she achieves that goal for right now in her life, that changes. It's okay to not meal plan and prep. It's okay for Shannon to choose to give her Sunday afternoons to her parents. That's okay. It's important for Shannon not to fight that, not to do all or nothing thinking. Oh no, it's all in all or nothing thinking. In Shannon's case would be, well, if I can't meal plan and prep, then, you know, all bets are off. It's McDonald's for me. That's all or nothing thinking. And it's important that she doesn't start over-catastrophizing. Oh no, if I can't meal plan and prep, I'm going to gain all kinds of weight. My blood pressure is going to go up. Whatever other condition, this is not going to go well for me. I'm never going to get back to it. I'm never, all of this kind of thing. But in practicing a fresh approach, why I think it is a long-term solution, she can practice some of the tools, which one would be the reflect and assess. Reflect on what's going on today. Assess what's working, what's not, and why, and how she can adjust, adapt, and pivot some of her steps and actions to achieve her goals for the current situation of her life right now. How she can get clear on what she can do, because there's always something we can do. It's about Shannon getting clear on how she can achieve her nutrition goals with her current life's reality, because there's always a way. And that's why when a client or a friend in the group tells me or posts about all that's going on in their lives, which is why they can't follow through on taking care of themselves right now because this is happening or this is happening. And that can be with nutrition, fitness, vitamins, medical, and medical follow-up. That's a big one that people put off a lot. I'll say, you know, hold up. Let's go back. My clients know at one point or another when we're talking, they're going to hear me say, hold up. Let's go back. Because we've got to stop skipping over things or justifying why we have to stop taking care of ourselves. And believe me, this comes from personal experience because I was the master justifier. All of the reasons I used to give for why I couldn't take care of myself. You know, I was married at the time, lots of kids, all different ages, worked full time. And you've heard me say this before, probably driving 90 miles each way to work. Yep. What was I thinking? Very busy job. My mom was older. My aunt older. They were both in their 90s. And taking care of everybody meant I couldn't take care of me. That's a master justifier. And what happens too is I'm sure I told people around me the same way, say, that our friend Shannon would be telling people around her why she can't take care of herself. You know, my dad's in the hospital. My mom's a wreck. I'm driving back and forth. It's crazy. I just, you know, I can't keep on top of eating right. I haven't been able to exercise. I can't even remember the last time I took vitamins. And most likely in this situation, Shannon's got really loving and caring friends and family and coworkers. And many of them most likely will be in the court of, oh my gosh, Shannon, of course you can't worry about all of that right now. You've got too much going on. You've got to just focus on your parents. Well, I think they're saying that with the best intentions, and I get that. But what happens? Because it's already been 6 weeks since Shannon has meal prepped or exercised, and she can't remember when the last time it was she took vitamins. So if her dad stays in the hospital, or even if he comes home and needs like home health care there, how well is Shannon going to be able to show up for her parents when it's been 2 months? I mean, what happens to her physical health? What happens to her mental health, her emotional health, her spiritual health, if she believes there's only one way, one path, one set of action steps that she can take to achieve her goals in each area? And then she's like, I've got to take care of my parents now. Everything's out the window. What happens to her? What, she's not going to be in the place to help her parents out. I mean, how well equipped is she to take care of her mom and dad when she's completely depleted? That's why the fresh approach practice of reflect and assess is so important. You know, what are my goals? What are my daily actions that support me in achieving these goals? Are they working or not working? Why or why not? What steps would better support me right now and why? It's a daily practice for a reason, because hard things are coming in all our lives. And even if you just came out of a hard thing recently, you know there's something else just around the corner. I mean, it could be minor, maybe only requiring a temporary adjustment to your plans here and there. But this is life. And this is why we cultivate practices to support us for life. So coming back to our new friend Kay, her reason for joining the Fresh Approach community, she said, I have a slight regain. I'm looking for a long-term solution. Okay, I believe the Fresh Approach is a long-term solution because of the emphasis on being present in our lives as they are now, not fighting the reality, being flexible, practicing understanding what's happening in our lives now, and developing a stronger relationship with ourselves. And that is a Fresh Approach. You know, we shine a light on essential healthy living practices in the Fresh Approach community. And this week in the group, we talked about the first one, sleep. If you're not getting enough sleep in terms of how long, how much sleep you're getting, or quality, you know, people will say, well, I go to sleep at, you know, 10 p.m. I get up at 6 a.m. and I'm like, but are you sleeping for 8 hours? I mean, how much sleep are you really getting? And then we go through it. It's like, maybe they're getting 6 hours. So knowing how lack of sleep can really impact you, isn't it worth sitting down and taking a look at what you can do to improve your sleep? Whether that be developing a pre-sleep plan, whether that be checking out your sleep environment and what could be a better sleep environment. If you know that your habit is, you know, you're lying in bed and it's, you know, for the 30 minutes before you go to bed, and say you plan on going to sleep at 11, but it's 11:20 and you're still scrolling through Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, is that something that maybe you could change? It's really getting clear on what you can do to improve sleep because of how critical it is for our health. And I did also share some resources in the group, so you can check those out in the Fresh Approach Facebook group. And we also talked about food. And I found such a cool picture to post with this. It was like the coolest, like blue, green, orange, purple, healthy pizza looking thing I've ever seen. But the point being, how are you keeping your nutrition interesting? A weight loss surgery patient once told me, and I think maybe she was like 2 years out from surgery, that she hadn't changed what she was eating in over a year because she firmly believed that specifically what she was eating for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for about a year, since she was able to maintain her weight with that, that that was the key to her maintaining her weight, and that if she dared to change it, that, you know, all hell would break loose. She said, I'm afraid of food. And I don't remember what my face looked like, but I can only think if my jaw wasn't on the floor, I was doing everything I could in my power to like prop it up, because my gosh, that's not a way to be. I mean, we may think we have a reason to fear food, but I think we also know at this point that food itself is not the reason for if we're having a struggle with weight, if we have one in the past. It's not the food itself. It's not the food. You know, food really is. Food is our friend. I mean, it really is. You know, nutritious food and food that we have for enjoyment. You know, like I always say, not the whole slice of cheesecake, but if you want to have a couple bites, you know, for your grandparents' wedding anniversary, enjoy that couple bites of cheesecake. It's a celebration. You know, I think you can do that. I don't believe in that there are no foods, or that's my, what do people call it? A trigger food, or there are other words for that. Again, I keep preaching, do what works for you. I don't believe that for myself. I believe food is there to be enjoyed and to nourish us. So back to the point though, how are you keeping your nutrition enjoyable and delightful? And this is one that's very easy for me to get stuck in that rut. And I do love cooking. And last week, I think I tried a couple new recipes, but this week there were no new recipes. It was the most I did, but it was still good. And I'll tell you why. I added like chili powder, turmeric, curry, more garlic to this chicken I was making. And it was so good. Even my daughter was like, Mom, what did you put in this? And for me, that was what I did this week. Well, on top of, I'd gotten myself into a greens rut. I was using only baby spinach in my protein shake. So I did switch to the Trader Joe's Power to the Greens. So I changed that up too. But it's up to us. It's up to you to keep your essential healthy living practices current for your needs in your life now, to keep them interesting so that you can strengthen your healthy living practices. So how can you keep your food enjoyable and delightful and fun and not boring, and prevent yourself from getting stuck in a rut like I tend to do? So again, 2019 has been my trying some new recipes, get them into my repertoire so that I get excited about having dinner and don't just go, oh, it's that, because I like to enjoy my food. And again, the other focus has been sleep. What can you do to improve your sleep practice? And so thinking back on Shannon, we're going to go back to that. Shannon has a hard thing happening in her life right now with her mom and dad. Let's talk about a resilience practice, which has been our focus on wholehearted living. So the Brené Brown quote is, joy collected over time fuels resilience, ensuring we'll have reservoirs of emotional strength when hard things happen. So like Shannon, you know, so that she's in the best place to take care of herself, that she can get clear on what she needs to bring her joy, because she needs that resilience right now to take care of her family. So how do we actively bring more joy and fun and happiness into our lives? My friend, this can't just be a by chance goal. So the same way you're planning and sorting out your vitamins, I hope, right? Your supplements, your medications, the way you don't forget to grab your hydro flask on the way out the door every morning. This is how you also plan for how you want to cultivate your joy practice. Yes, I actually want you to plan for fun, for happiness, for joy. I want you to think of it as this jar. When you think about how Brené Brown says you need this reservoir of joy to fuel your resilience for when hard things happen, think about that as that every time you actively bring that into your life, you put something on your schedule, you actively take time out to be creative and you paint a picture or you sew something or you sing a song and you work on a song that you really want to hear yourself sing, or a new dance, that's bringing joy. You're filling up that jar so that for the next hard thing that's going to happen, you can pull from that because you've got your joy. I mean, I'm right there with you in having favorite TV shows, favorite Netflix shows, whatever it is, but please don't just let it be, oh, I watch these shows and they make me laugh. Let's get you actively going on what else you can do. What else can you do to fill up that joy reservoir? to bring the joy and the creativity, the laughter, getting together with people, you know, maybe cooking a dinner for your favorite friends and doing something with your family, going on a hike. What can you do to bring joy? And then take pictures of it and write about it. And I always tell my clients, record it on your voice memo app on your phone, talking about how much fun you just had, or calling up a cousin you haven't talked to in a while and reminiscing about things you guys used to do when you were little. Create the joy. Actively create the joy and fill up that joy jar. Okay, fill up your joy reservoir. And we've also been talking about another big truth from Dr. Brené Brown. We cannot selectively numb emotions. When we numb the painful emotions, we also numb the positive emotions. Oh my gosh, that's not good, is it? I mean, what's important first here is recognizing if you're in the practice, if you know you're in the practice, some would say I'm an emotional eater. If you're in the practice of using food or alcohol or online shopping, I'm hearing a lot of that lately, or binge watching a full season of a show, whatever it is, to numb yourself, distract yourself, or comfort yourself from an uncomfortable or hard situation going on in your life. And that could be anything from a rough day at work to your troubled marriage to, you know, what Shannon's going through with her father being in the hospital and trying to support her mom through all of that. And then have you thought about this? When you're upset and you eat pretzels or ice cream, or you're coming home to boxes from Amazon piled up in front of your door from your midnight, you know, Amazon shopping spree. When you're numbing or distracting from the uncomfortable feelings, you also end up numbing the good feelings and experiences too. Because all your heart and mind know is, hey, a feeling's coming on, a physical sensation, an emotion. But our go-to is not to fully experience it, to allow ourselves to feel it, to process it, to take it in. So what happens? You don't really take in all the joy you can because your practice, your body, your mind, your heart's practice is not to. And where does that lead? Number one, it can lead to you telling yourself, oh no, that bad habit of nighttime snacking is back, or I've fallen into bad habits again, or there's something wrong with me. I can't get my stuff together to stay on track. You know, your old go-tos, your old standbys, when what's really going on in most cases, you've hit a hard thing in your life, you hit a bump in the road. And again, that can be anything on that, you know, hard thing scale, and you don't want to feel it. When you don't allow yourself to feel it and to get clear on what's happening and to get clear on what you can do in this situation, to take the best care of yourself, when you just know you're having physical sensations and emotions you don't want to feel, you know, so you shop or you overeat, you know, or you do something else, you binge watch some show on Netflix. That's not leading anywhere good, is it? Because where else can it lead you when you numb out? You have an empty joy reservoir because hard things are coming your way. And if that joy reservoir, your joy jar, isn't filled up and ready to fuel your resilience for the next hard thing, what do you think your go-to strategy will be to handle that hard thing? Yeah, do you hear the ice cream and the cookies and the crackers and the popcorn calling your name? Yeah, because that's the practice, to numb out. Numbing, distracting, and there it goes again, that vicious, vicious cycle. Do you see how it's hard to turn it off? Because that's the go-to. So you can't fill up the joy reservoir. You can't fill up your joy jar if you're always numbing out the negative emotions, because the negative emotions, that practice also numbs out the positive ones. Holy Lord, right? Are you having that, oh my gosh, I never thought of it that way moment? So can you begin filling up your joy reservoir, your joy jar today? Can you create a list from the simple to the extravagant, so out there one day kind of thinking? You know, you can start with buying yourself some fresh flowers, all the way to planning that huge family reunion or family vacation in Hawaii, and everything at every level in between. And then actually plan out the steps to do these things. Get them on your calendar. Will you do that? And speaking of calendars, please mark your calendar if you have Netflix. And if you don't, get together with somebody who does or just get it so you can watch Brené Brown's The Call to Courage. It's coming to Netflix on April 19th. And we focus on Brené Brown's work all the time in the Fresh Approach community. In fact, we are right now, we're talking about the importance of not numbing out, recognizing the numbing the painful emotions, and you also numb the positive ones. We're talking about filling up our reservoir of joy, our reservoir jar of joy, I want to call it, so you have resilience, something to fuel your resilience when the hard things happen. And I want to say, when Brené Brown, I was introduced to her work in 2010 by my lovely friend Arit, who was the psychologist at our program at the time. And she has been a constant companion since then. For me, my family, my kids, even my granddaughters are attuned to the work of Brené Brown. Shame and guilt and vulnerability and compassion, self-compassion and courage and authenticity. And I want to tell you, my hunch is that when Brené Brown is calling this the call to courage, courage not being the noun, she's probably going to turn that into courage, the verb. The same way, when I work with my clients and Brené Brown talks about having healthy boundaries, it's how to boundary, which we use boundary as a verb, how to boundary, how to courage, I'm thinking is where she's going to go with this. And, if you are already interested in Brené Brown or want a little more than what you've been hearing me talk about, I'll share in episode notes the links to her. I think she has one of the top 10 most watched TED Talks of all time, The Power of Vulnerability. And then she has another one on shame and just some great, great resources from Brené. I'll also share my favorite audiobook from Brené, which I think is actually called The Power of Vulnerability also. And it's great because she's talking with the group. So it's very comfortable. You just feel like she's chatting with you about actually the guideposts for The Gifts of Imperfection, one of her best books. Well, they're all great. So again, April 19th, Brené Brown, and we focus on her work a lot in the Fresh Approach community because it is so awesome, and she's absolutely a transformative teacher, an incredible, phenomenal woman teacher in my life. So I hope you enjoy her work as much as I do. And I hope you are taking all this in and, again, having yourself a great April and making the most of this spring season and bringing something fresh into your life. Remember, we talked about not letting our food get so boring, doing something fresh in you there, getting clear on what's going on with your sleep, why the fresh approach really is a lifelong solution to taking the best care of yourself, because we're always living in the fresh moment. I guess you could say, we're always living in this moment, not what worked 6 months or last year or even 3 months ago, because our lives are changing. I mean, just think about that. A month ago, where were we? Yeah. So a month ago, it wasn't spring yet. It's spring now, right? So the seasons change, the seasons of our lives change, and that calls for, the same way you change your wardrobe. Well, not in all parts of the country, but in those parts of the country that have seasons, it's also maybe time to change a practice so you can find the new best way for this time in your life, for this season of your life, this chapter of your life, to take the best care of yourself. And that's what the Fresh Approach is about. And also about filling up your joy jar so that you can have that reservoir for when hard things happen to fuel your resilience. So you can take the best care of yourself and the people you love and the causes you love and your community and everything you love about this wonderful, beautiful life you have. Did you stay tuned to learn more about me? If you did, let me share with you that I am very nostalgic. In terms of, I like to keep things around that remind me of a special time or special people. Like, I have my mom's wooden spoon that she used to use to cook. And obviously it's a really well-made wooden spoon because I still cook with it. And I have a couple of her loaf pans that she used to make bread in. My mom used to make zucchini bread, molasses bread. She loved to cook and bake. And so I have those and I'll use those from time to time. My son recently was wearing a jacket of my dad's that I have a picture of. I'm 6 or 7 years old and I'm playing in the snow. And my dad is wearing that jacket. And now my 22-year-old son is wearing my dad's jacket. So I love stuff like that. So I love to have mementos, people I love, experiences I love and treasure, things that are very special. So I guess you would say I am nostalgic. And I'm smiling as I'm telling you this because it makes me really happy. All right, again, I hope wherever you are, you're making it a great day. And if you're not in the Fresh Approach Facebook group, join us in there. There is a link to join in episode notes. We'll be talking soon. All right, love, light, and grace to you.